Hello and welcome to this special edition of The Buck Stops Here. We're coming to you live from Srinagar. In the last 48 hours, we have been bringing you special updates on a ground situation that continues to be tense. Curfew and lockdown continues in the Kashmir Valley 6 days after the elimination of Hizbul Mujahideen militant Burhan Wani. But there is now a new debate, a political debate brewing here in the valley. Even as the use of pellet guns is debated, as the number of eye injuries reaches 134, and security forces release their own video footage to show just the scale of violence and aggression from the crowds, the brand new political controversy has come from the PDP. PDP senior leader Muzaffar Beg has spoken to a local news agency here in Srinagar, the KNS, the Kashmir News Service, and has effectively questioned the operation in which Burhan Wani was eliminated. Speaking to KNS, Muzaffar Beg said that he believes that this encounter may have gone against Supreme Court rulings, implying that in some ways it was an extrajudicial killing. In fact, he went so far as to say that Mehbooba Mufti should have ordered a probe, and the Chief Minister was not kept in the loop about this encounter. How will the BJP respond? This is going to create major political friction, and is the PDP playing with fire? That is going to be the subject of our debate on The Buck Stops Here tonight. Even as India and Pakistan go to battle at the United Nations over the Burhan Wani aftermath, and the Foreign Affairs Ministry goes on record to say that it's Pakistan that's fanning the discontent. So a day of many, many developments here in the Kashmir Valley. But let's first start with the human aspect. Now, as we've been reporting from the hospitals of Srinagar, what has really got the valley debating and angry is the use of pellet guns to contain crowds. There have been more than 100 surgeries in the last 5 days. That's more surgeries than in the last 5 years. Most of these eye injuries have been caused by the use of what are called pellet guns. There are now demands for these guns to be stopped being used. But challenging this narrative are the security forces, who have released videos of their own today and several photographs that had not yet made it to the public. And in these photographs, in this video, the security forces say that their stations were torched, that security camps and chowkis were attacked by crowds, often running in the hundreds. And they also talk about the difficulty of trying to manage a crowd coming to them with stones, saying, if not pellet guns, what else? In the meanwhile, the face of this debate has become a young teenage girl, Insha, who's battling for her life, a serious brain injury after a pellet went through her head and smashed her face.
Between the maze of turmoil, unrest, violence and tragedy from Kashmir, 14-year-old Insha Malik battling for her life, unconscious for 3 days. Her face pockmarked from the lethal impact of a pellet gun. She has multiple injuries, her face badly injured. Insha, a 9th class school student from Shopian, lost her vision in her left eye, and doctors are still not sure about her right eye. She may never be able to see again. She was hit by the stray shot of a pellet gun as she stood at the window of her house, looking down at the unrest on the streets below.
Mushtaq sahab, kya hua bataye? Main ghar mein tha. Ghar mein hi tha.
Ghar ke andar.
Ghar ke andar.
To kahan pe halaat? Bahar sadak pe kharab the.
Halaat kuch bahar sadak pe kharab.
Ye ghar ke andar.
Ye ghar ke andar.
Upar wale manzil mein. तो कहाँ पे पैलेट लगाया?
उसके उसके ऊपर उसके ऊपर यहाँ पे आँखों में भी आँखों दोनों ही
तो बिल्कुल क्रिटिकल कंडीशन में है। क्या बोल रहे हैं डॉक्टर?
डॉक्टर ने अभी कुछ नहीं बताया, बोलता है 24 घंटे के बाद बताऊँगा, सर्जरी हो जाएगा।
यानी ये किसी प्रोटेस्ट में हिस्सा नहीं ले रही थी, अपने घर में थे, घर में जाके इनको पैलेट लगा?
घर में लगा, घर वाले मंजिल में लगा।
Insha has come to define the debate over the use of pellet guns in the valley, a pellet gun whose single cartridge is made up of 400 to 500 iron balls. explodes into the air in multiple directions and can cause simultaneous injuries to different parts of the body. On the next bed is Shamima. Her father says the girl from Bij Bihara in South Kashmir was hit with a bullet when she was passing through an area where clashes were going on. Across hospitals like this, beleaguered doctors are performing more eye surgeries in 5 days than in 5 years.
Palate is quite lethal for the eye. The eye is a soft target. It has this least amount of resistance as compared to bone, muscle and skin. Once the palate goes in the eye, it makes a hole in the eye and it rotates in the eye. And once it rotates in the eye, it causes a lot of tissue damage, mostly the lens, the cornea, and the most particular thing is the retina gets damaged.
Stung by the criticism over the use of pellet guns, security forces are pointing to the increased aggression of protesting crowds. The last few days, they say, saw crowds as strong as 400 to 500 charging a rural police station, which was sometimes manned by less than 30 men. Footage released by the forces shows a police station being burned down in Pulwama, a courthouse set ablaze, burnt cars and trunks of documents, burnt CRPF and police posts vandalized and broken down by men they say were carrying iron rods. Video footage released by security forces also shows clashes with stone-pelting protesters. Although the exact date this video was filmed is unknown, security forces argue that their hands are tied too, if not pellet guns, what they ask, pointing to CRPF soldiers like this one, whose face was fractured by a stone.
What the J&K police is using are the less lethal weapon. That means they can incapacitate a person, but if fired from a close range, it can become lethal also. When we say use of minimum force, the boys who are attacking the police personnel, firstly, that is an offense in itself, because attacking a uniformed person, discharging his duty, is an offense. They come with bricks which are about 5 inch by 5 inch, sharp enough, and they come en masse and throw these projectiles at the police people, which attain a speed of about almost 100 kilometers like cricket ball. If it hits a person, it can virtually become lethal. Number 9 pellet, which is there, if that is fired, he is using lesser force than what the crowd is using. They are even using a grenade. So they have to fire this, and I think there's nothing wrong in it.
Insha is just one of the 100 young people, most of them below the age of 18, who may never see again because they have been blinded by pellet guns. While security forces point at the injured officers and the police posts which have been torched and vandalized. But the sheer scale of the injuries raises a fundamental question. Is there a need to change the security protocol to deal with the protesting crowds? And also, is this the time to do away with pellet guns? In Srinagar with Amir Bhatt, Zafar Iqbal for NDTV.
Now, as the debate continues over the use of pellet guns and security forces arguing that they're necessary, the civilians here saying that they're an abomination, the fact of the matter is that violence is still continuing unabated in many pockets of the Kashmir Valley. In fact, today we have seen the house where Burhan Wani was actually eliminated, torched, with mobs alleging that the family who lived in the local area may have tipped off the security forces as to his location. Also, one of the most high-profile apple orchard projects in the Kashmir Valley that was being touted as the face of new Kashmir, the face of a new idea, the face of a Kashmir returning to normalcy where young people were willing to experiment and do things, has also been attacked by the mob. To give you a sense of the kind of tension that exists here on the ground, Zafar, what can you tell us about this apple orchard that has come under attack, and why is this considered so significant? Because, you know, a lot of people here would tell us about how this was one of the grandest new initiatives in the Kashmir Valley.
Well, it was a high density apple orchard that was there in South Kashmir area. It was recently set up by a young man. His name is Khurram. And also, it had attracted a lot of attraction. We saw former Chief Minister Mufti Mohammad Saeed going there, the current Chief Minister, and other people also going there, and in fact, telling other youngsters to follow the footsteps and to do something different. But now there are reports that apple orchard has been damaged, destroyed. I spoke to Khurram. He said most of the trees have been uprooted. There are 7,000 trees. And also some structures have been tortured there. So clearly the damage is happening on several fronts. Now we're seeing earlier protests on the roads, but now even an apple orchard in South Kashmir has been the target. And this time around, this person who was really trying to do something different and trying to set up a high-density apple orchard in the valley, his efforts have suffered a setback.
Right, Zafar, thank you. I think that also brings home the fact that even as there is focus on pellet guns and civilian injuries and eye injuries now hitting 134, there is also the very, very real challenge of these of people who are taking the law into their own hands, not just burning down police stations and security chocks, but now actually attacking an apple orchard run by a civilian. So that does speak to what the forces are arguing is clear violent vandalism on the ground, and it will be part of our debate tonight. But in a brand new twist and a brand new political controversy, two PDP leaders, Naeem Akhtar and Muzaffar Beg, have effectively questioned the operation that took out Burhan Wani. These are comments that could create a serious rift with their coalition partner, the BJP. They could also demoralize the security forces. And they also run contradictory to the position, in effect, that India has taken as a country on this particular operation. Now, Naeem Akhtar, in an interview to The Hindu, said that the government was willing to reopen all the killings that have taken place, including the operation that took out Burhan Wani. But Muzaffar Beg, a senior leader, a veteran PDP leader, in fact, who has served formerly as the Deputy Chief Minister of the state, went on record in an interview to the Kashmir News Service, a local agency here, to effectively say that the operation he believed violated the Supreme Court guidelines on how an operation should be conducted. In fact, he went so far as to say that Mehbooba Mufti was not even aware of the operation. Otherwise, she may have given a different set of instructions to the security forces. All this happening on a day when India has rubbished Pakistan's trying to internationalize the Kashmir issue at the United Nations. So lots to discuss on the debate tonight. But first, let's go across to the Deputy Chief Minister, Nirmal Singh. Nirmal Singh is joining us on the program. He's, of course, a leader of the BJP. Sir, first on the human aspect, every day the toll continues to inch by inch climb up. The injuries now are well over 1,200. The eye injuries are at 134. What is the government's position on this? Would you be asking the security forces to, for instance, stop using the pellet guns that have caused this scale of eye injuries where young men and women may possibly never be able to see again?
It's very unfortunate that so many people have been killed. It's really unfortunate, and a large number of people have been injured also. So definitely the government is trying to control all this, and we are appealing to everybody, whether they are government is doing its job, whether it's opposition or those people who claim that they have interests of Jammu Kashmir in their mind, that they should come forward, because they should not resort to any band calls and all that, which ultimately vitiates the atmosphere and creates a situation where youth who are on the streets, and they do violence. Now the police stations, they are attacked. These SOG camps, yes, are then attacked. So this is really unfortunate situation. But definitely government wants that, and we are taking other measures also so that everything is controlled. And we are hopeful of peaceful atmosphere in near future.
Right. But Mr. Nirmal Singh, that is on how you believe the forces should handle the unrest on the ground. But there is a political controversy here that your coalition government will have to deal with. At least two of your colleagues in this coalition government, Naeem Akhtar, who's a minister in your government, are questioning or seeming to question the Burhan Wani encounter, talking to the Hindu about possibly reopening this encounter along with all other civilian killings. Muzaffar Bey going much further, talking about how he believes this may have violated the Supreme Court rulings. Now, isn't this completely dangerous politics? And as a Deputy Chief Minister and as a BJP leader, how do you see this?
So far as the killing of three terrorists is concerned, that was a routine anti-terrorist operation, and nobody was knowing that who's there. Ultimately, our two policemen, they have been injured in that encounter when there was a fire on them. Definitely in that encounter, he is also killed, and there is a violence after that. Definitely, there is a law in the state, and law will take its own course. I don't think there is a need to investigate all that, because whatever happened, that's very clear, and it's a routine. And these operations, they are go on every day, I think.
Right. But are you then saying that you do not agree and you distance yourself from the PDP leaders who have questioned the operation that took out Wani?
I don't know what he has said, but definitely I have read this, he is being quoted there in some newspaper. But definitely it was a routine anti-terrorist operation. So definitely law is there. If law will take its own course, because every killing, every incident that is brought within the parameters of law, and that's a routine matter.
You're calling it routine. The PDP is questioning it, or at least some of the PDP leaders are questioning it. Another controversy has been the repeated appeals to separatists, including Syed Ali Shah Gilani, to actually control the street, to bring down, to de-escalate the tension on the streets. Does this, Mr. Nirmal Singh, not contradict the BJP's stated ideology? I mean, we all remember when the central government called off talks because the Pakistanis were meeting the Hurriyat. Now you're basically asking them for help. Why are you exactly appealing to the separatists?
Actually, the situation is such that everybody who believes in peace and order, who believes in insaniyat, they must come forward. That was the approach of the government. And in that context, our government appealed to everybody. But they are not looking to the reasons, because they are giving this bun calls and all that. And ultimately, now Pakistan has come in, and Pakistan has started washing its dirty clothes and diverting. They are trying to divert their attention from their internal things towards this situation, which is very unfortunate. And we wanted peace. And the government appealed to everybody within the state that they must come forward and help in restoring peace in Jammu and Kashmir, so that the deaths, they are controlled. And there are no deaths, and peace and order is there.
And that includes the Hurriyat conference, that includes the separatists. You want their help?
We are asking everybody, whether it's government, either it's opposition, other people who believe in insaniyat, who believe in peace and order, who claim that such situation should not emerge, wherein this violence should continue. So I think it's the duty of everybody to come forward in the larger interest of the society of Jammu and Kashmir, especially the Kashmiri society.
All right, Mr. Nirmal Singh, Deputy Chief Minister, thank you for joining us on the Buck Stops here. It's been a day of many developments here in the valley. Eye surgeons flown in from Delhi to address the number of eye surgeries that are taking place across hospitals in Srinagar. A growing opposition to the use of pellet guns. Security forces releasing footage of their own, underlining the scale of vandalism and arson and stone pelting that they have been subjected to, pointing to their own injured men, saying, if not pellet guns, what should we use? India and Pakistan going to battle over this at the United Nations. India reminding Pakistan that Pakistan's record on human rights is so bad that it could not even secure a position on the Human Rights Council. And now in a brand new controversy, Muzaffar Beg of the PDP telling a local news agency here that he believes that the encounter that took out Burhan Wani actually violated the tenets of of Supreme Court guidelines on how encounters should be conducted. Let's introduce our panel now. Joining us from the BJP, Sambit Patra, senior leader of the party, is with us. General Jaiswal is with us from Chandigarh. He was, of course, a former Northern Army commander here in the state. Dilip Trivedi, who served as the Director General of the CRPF, is also with us. Dr. Tariq Qureshi, who is, of course, a well-known doctor, who has, of course, been overseeing these eye surgeries himself, along with many, many other doctors, is also joining us. Shujaat Bukhari, well-known editor and journalist, is also with us. Ambassador Casey Singh, to look at the dynamics as they're unfolding between India and Pakistan. And we'll also be getting a perspective from Mirwais Omar Farooq, Hurriyat Conference representative, in a moment from now. All right, Sambit Patra, your first comments on what Muzaffar Beg and Naeem Akhtar have said. Muzaffar Beg, in a comment to a local news agency, is effectively saying Mehbooba Mufti did not know about this operation, and he believes that this has not been conducted properly, that it's violated Supreme Court guidelines. This again is bringing home the paradox of your coalition, Sambit.
Not at all. I mean, rather, I would say that discussing politics over here would not be the right platform and would not be the right issue. Right now, there should be an appeal for peace.
But I didn't start it, Sambit. This is your coalition partner.
No, no.
But Sambit, I'm not bringing politics into
it. It's okay. I'm answering that.
It's Muzaffar Beg who made this comment, and I'm asking you about
it. I'm not saying you are bringing politics. Who said that you are bringing politics?
Okay.
I said this is not the right platform. Any platform is not the right platform of politicizing the whole issue, but rather it's a platform, every platform rather, should be utilized for appealing for peace. And I would do the same over here as well. I would appeal for everyone. I would appeal to all the panelists also that despite the differences that we may have otherwise, today we should forget all the differences and we should see to it that peace prevails in Jammu and Kashmir. Having said that, to your question as to what two leaders from PDP may have said, I would rather overlook these isolated comments and go for the official comment that has been made by the respected chief minister only 2 days ago. 2 days ago, the chief minister, in an appeal, in a very emotional appeal rather, approached the whole of Kashmir, and this he said as to how the youth were being utilized by a section, maybe separatist, maybe from across the border, to go in the wrong direction. And this is not fair. So he said that, please, people are there who are trying to turn you into wrong way. Please don't go by their way. Try to understand, and she made an appeal to the parents also. See to it as to where your kids are going.
But the two leaders I've quoted are not marginal leaders. Naeem Akhtar and Muzaffar Beg, I can tell you, because I cover Kashmir, these are weighty leaders of the PDP. These are not junior leaders. These are not young leaders. These
they
are
may
not
be
born
weighty
again
leaders.
Yesterday's leaders.
No, they may be weighty leaders, they may not be young leaders, they may be old leaders, but the issue is the official statement is far more important than a few isolated comments. So the maturity calls for me is that I should avoid these isolated comments because these unnecessarily politicize the whole issue, which is not the call of the day. The want of the day is peace. And that's what the Chief Minister, Ms. Mehbooba, has called for. I stand with that call.
Okay, let me just get a perspective journalistically from Shujaat. Shujaat, how do you read Muzaffar Beg's comments to KNS, Naeem Akhtar's more muted comments to the Hindu, but, you know, showing a willingness to reopen the inquiry into all killings, including that of Burhan Wani? Beg has gone much further. Can he be ignored? Is he speaking just for himself? Is he speaking for the government? We have no idea. The PDP declined to be part of the show tonight. Shujaat, how do you read Muzaffar Beg's comments?
See, Barkha, I think it's very important to not to ignore these comments in the sense that it is not a statement coming from National Conference or Congress. It is the statement coming from a cabinet minister who is member of the Council of Ministers in the current coalition government. And he is saying a statement that government is ready to relook into the encounter in which Burhan was killed.
Yes.
It makes a simple kind of an assessment that the government, being run by the Council of Ministers, has no confidence in police and the army which conducted this operation. I mean, it cannot be brushed aside like this.
That's a big leap. Because Naeem Akhtar only said, we are ready to relook at all killings, including the original operation that started this. Muzaffar Beg, not Naeem Akhtar, who's really been strident about it. To be fair to Naeem Akhtar. Yes.
No. No, no, that's right. I mean, I'm saying that by, as you rightly said, that Muzaffar Beg is also not an ordinary leader. He is the elected member of parliament
yes.
from Baramulla constituency. I mean, when you say that a minister has said that they are ready to look into all the cases like this, including that of Burhan. So that means that Burhan's operation, which was conducted by police and army, I mean, you are raising question on that as well. I mean, that tells you the story that all is not well.
Not
yeah.
at all.
General Jaswal, before we... No. Samit, you don't agree? Samit, you don't agree? I'll allow you to rebut and then go
no,
to General
not
Jaswal.
Not at all. No, I mean, this is reading more than what meets the eye. What is not written, we are trying to read those lines. The government
but
never
how
said
can you
that
say
we
that?
Not
Let me read out to you. Samit, I
have
no, it here
Barkha,
on my phone.
I am not reading much.
I am just
following what you are saying.
We have.
No, I am also just reading out from this news agency report. Sambit, talking to KNS, Muzaffar Beg said, to my knowledge and reports, the operation in which Burhan was killed was against the ruling of Supreme Court. The Constitution Bench of the Apex Court, which consisted of 5 judges, had given the judgment about an SOP, how to carry an operation even when AFSPA is in force. However, Burhan's killing appears to have violated this judgment. This is Muzaffar Beg. I'm just reading out what he said to a local agency. Sambit, quick comment.
I would say that the security forces of this country have the highest respect for the Supreme Court of this country, and we have heard interviews of the Lieutenant General of the Northern Command, DS Hudda Sahab, and we have seen as to how the army people were also injured. 2 of them took bullets also during the encounter.
Yes.
So, despite the fact
yes.
that few people make some stray comments,
no, I am
we
not
be
defending Muzaffar Beg's comments. I am saying, how are you going to
no, I know that
deal
you are not.
I am not questioning you,
Barkha.
These are not my comments.
Who is saying that you are defending? I never say that you are defending. What I am saying is maturity calls upon all of us, including the senior members present in as a panelist over here also, that we ignore the stray comments and we stick to the official comment. This is not the government's comment. As someone was suggesting before me, probably I think the senior journalist was suggesting this, I would say we should stick to the official comment of the chief minister. The chief minister had made official comments 2 days ago. So why
okay.
should we stray
okay.
from what the comment okay. of the Chief Minister
just,
was?
Okay, let me just get General Jaswal. General Jaswal, we will discuss the pellet guns and whether they should be done away with later. I want a quick comment as a soldier. When you have politicians in the ruling government here, individual leaders, though they may be questioning this encounter, what does that make a soldier feel?
Let me tell you that let not the politicians micromanage army operations. There are responsible army officers who are conducting the operations, and let me assure you, we have the highest respect for any guidelines which have been laid down by the government, by the Supreme Court. If in case there is any violation, strict action is taken. It is a very dangerous, I would call, trend. That the politicians start commenting on army operations like this and start micromanaging. It will have a very negative effect.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if the army commander, Northern Command, General Hudda has made a statement about the operation, take it at its face value, there will be truth. No army commander ever tells lies. And if in case
yeah.
every encounter is inquired into, I think we are playing into the hands of the terrorists. We're making the security forces weak. We're curbing their initiative. There should be no, impositions, except the correct guidelines which have been laid down for conduct of operations. How he should conduct, it is his responsibility. He is not to be told how he should conduct the operation. He has to keep certain guidelines, tasks given to him. How he conducts it, it's his responsibility. Let not the politicians over there, the local ones, try and micromanage army operations. And
okay.
in this case...
Okay, now that's on
the
political contradictions, General Jaswal.
When the operation was launched,
to
the best of my knowledge...
Yes, yes. Yes. No, I agree with you. I think that this is dangerous politics, and to sort of make these comments 6 days afterwards, perhaps is catering to the to the anger or the unrest on the streets, but it's still playing with fire. Now, we are going to go across to Mirwais Omar Farooq. I believe we've just lost that Skype line to him. Is that correct? All right, we've lost that line. We will bring him. We will bring that line back up in a moment, because remember, the Hurriyat has been asked by the government officially to help them bring peace to the streets. But I just want to focus a little bit on these images that we've been seeing in the hospitals of eye injuries and the eye surgeons. And I just want to get a perspective from Dr. Tariq Qureshi. Dr. Qureshi, give us a sense of why a pellet gun is so dangerous. And then I'll get General Jaiswal and Mr. Trivedi to respond about why they think it's necessary. What have you been seeing in the hospitals as you've been doing surgery after surgery?
It was a thunder blast on 9th of July when so many pellet injuries came one by over other and another over another, and there's a big crop on the department, and it was a big responsibility on my head and the part of the as a part of the department, as a part of the society, to take care of all these pellets. Why it's lethal? Police people say that's non-lethal to the crowds and it should be used, but it's absolutely lethal and it should be banned right now. As you have seen the magnitude of injuries and the amount of devastation it has caused to the eyes of these young guys. You see that why it's lethal? The eye is a tissue of least resistance. It's a water ball. Just the pellet, it pierces the eyeball, it rotates in the eye, it destroys the cornea, that's the superficial layer of the eye, then it destroys the lens, that's the structure where we see, and ultimately it damages the retina, that's the film where the image is the form. And once the retina is damaged, the amount of surgery you do and 3 or 4 surgeries, it never comes to normal vision. So the amount of trauma it causes to the eye, it's absolutely a lethal weapon for the eye. And I request you to all join hands and ban it right now and ban it forever. The amount of injuries which we received in last 4 days.
Let me get responses. Dr. Qureshi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Sorry, complete your point, Doctor. Tariq, you are saying that you want pellet guns to be banned. You want them to be banned.
Yes,
you want pellet guns to be banned.
It should be banned. They are lethal for the eyes. They're absolutely lethal for eyes.
Yes.
And you have seen it yourself. That so many young boys and girls losing eyes. One way or the other. Even if we do our utmost, they will never be normal.
I just want Dilip Trivedi and General Jaiswal to respond to this. Tariq, give me a second. I want the security personnel to respond to what you're saying. General Jaiswal and Dilip Trivedi. General Jaiswal, go ahead. General Jaiswal.
Doctor Saab. Yeah. Doctor Saab,
yes,
I totally agree, and I do feel very sad that a lot of people have lost their eyesight. Now, this is not a lethal weapon. There are the 3 types of weapons which are used: lethal, lesser lethal, and non-lethal. Now, why there is the requirement for, there's no pellet gun. There's no such thing as pellet gun. There's shotguns. Pellets are different things.
Yeah.
Through which a cartridge number 9 is being fired. Now, when we talk of excessive force, can you imagine a brick 5-inch by 5-inch being bowled onto a guy, a security forces, a public servant performing his duties? You're not catering for his injuries. He, in his self-defense, he is authorized to fire in self-defense. He fires back with not so lethal weapon, lesser lethal weapon. He's supposed to fire in the legs, but there is a pattern involved. Unfortunately, at times, for whatever reason, if he's aimed over here, unfortunate. I feel very bad about it. Some people have lost their eyes. You kindly be there with these people who are sitting out there facing the crowd who are coming, and then I would like to listen to your answer. If you are at all present over there after the crowd has come on to you, you will run away. How do you protect yourself?
Every policeman has got the right for self-defense.
He is performing.
Okay. Sir, let me just get Dilip Trivedi, who's public duty.
He has been given order to protect that area.
But Mr. Trivedi, sir, I do have to interrupt you. Mr. Trivedi,
I have to interrupt you.
I want to give Mr. Trivedi in. One minute, everybody. Dilip Trivedi, The fact is, I feel that there is a new security protocol needed. I know, I've seen the footage. In fact, we can bring up those pictures. We have seen dramatic pictures today of the kind of arson, police stations torched, burnt cars. You know, we had that police officer pushed into the Sangam River, dying instantly. But on the other hand, there's a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old girl, Insha. You know, she's probably not going to live, and if she lives, she's probably not going to see again. And there are 134 such eye injuries. Mr. Trivedi, do we need a new and different protocol?
Barkha, let me tell you one thing. It's been a constant endeavor to reduce the lethality of the weapons being used for crowd control. To begin with, we had weapons like 303 and 7.62 SLRs. And then we came down to INSAS, and then we came down to this pellet guns. And it has been a constant endeavor on the part of the security forces to reduce this thing. And at no point of time do we use the word non-lethal. We are just saying less lethal. We are still moving towards a protocol where we can get weapons which are even less lethal. And I'm sure all security forces would like to have a weapon which would be even less lethal than as the pellet gun is made out to be today. But that is a matter of R&D and innovations, and when we come to it. But what does a constable who's on duty there and performing his job, and he's attacked by a mob, and he's attacked so ferociously by a mob, as pointed out by the general, what does he do? Does he have the right of self-defense? Does not he have the right of defending the public property? I mean, where do you strike a balance between this? And we are all talking about the pellets being very lethal. So I would suggest anybody to come out with what are the other options. At the end of the day, this has come down from a very heavy caliber rifle like a 303, but down to a pellet. So it is certainly less lethal than what we have been seeing in the past. And I'm sure this endeavor is an ongoing endeavor. And there must be a lot of research going on to find out
Shujaat and Tariq, Dr. Tariq, managing to respond this. Okay. Shujaat, it's a fair question. The fact of the matter is that while the civilian killings and the eye injuries are really disturbing, and I've reported on them from the hospitals, you know, the footage that you see of arson, of vandalism, the fact that you have a high-density apple orchard today owned by a civilian, you know, which was a civil society initiative, that's ransacked. The fact that the house where Burhan Wani's encounter took place is burnt down. You know, the fact is that these are security people who are saying, okay, if not a pellet gun, what else? Shujaat, how do you respond to this?
See, I mean, Barkha, there is no denying the fact that there has been violence from the other side as well. As you showed the pictures and you referred to the orchard in Bamdura, which was which was uprooted today. So that's a very unfortunate kind of a situation. But you know that for past 5 days, this situation has been going on. And it is a kind of a situation which is not under control. But the army officers and those people who have been in the paramilitary forces, they are making an argument that all what has been done in past 5 days, it is justified. I mean, in that sense, do you think that there will be a mob tomorrow and firing on all sides and you are going to... I did not interrupt, sir. So, do you think that tomorrow there will be a mob and there will be some violence and you are going to fire on them? I mean, tell me, what is the difference between the state, what is the difference between a disciplined force and a mob? I mean, there has to be some kind of difference.
Let Sambit come in and then Jaswal.
No, you can't.
Okay, Sambit,
you can't,
and then Jaswal, we are trying to meet up on the line. Let's get him on Barkha, the phone, Barkha, please. All right, Sambit, go ahead.
Sambit, go ahead. I just wanted to answer to the question that was raised by my previous speaker. The previous speaker wanted to know the difference between a mob and the state. The answer is, look, for the state, it is maximum restraint, minimum force. For the mob, it is minimum restraint, maximum force. That is the difference between the state and the mob. And we are proud that the Indian security forces have always exercised maximum restraint, despite the fact that they were thrown into the Jhelum River, despite the fact that hundreds of people were attacking their stations and their... Can I please complete, sir, some restraint? Despite the fact that hundreds of people are attacking the police stations and the army chalks and they're being burned down, our army has thankfully shown maximum restraint. But I thank the doctor in the show also that, yes, he has done his duty, he's doing his duty. Round the clock, he is helping the people out there whose eyes have been injured. And I tell you, Barkha, no one is happy. Even if I would tell you, such is the sentiment and emotion of Indian people, that Indian people are never happy, even if the wrongdoers are injured. That is the beauty of the mind of Indian people. So please, for God's sake, let's not politicize this. Let's not say that anyone is trying to hurt. You brought in the case of Insha. Do you think that the army wanted to kill Insha? No. Insha was in her home.
No, it was an accident. It's not about
so
intent.
Let's not project.
It's not about intent. It's not about intent. Okay,
yes,
I just want to get Tariq. I want
Barkha,
Dr. Tariq to respond and General Jaswal.
Barkha, just 10 more seconds.
Yeah, okay.
10 more seconds. The army did not want to harm Insha. No one wanted to harm Insha. It was just an accident. Let's not project an accident as if she is the poster case of Kashmir. No. Accident happened anywhere if the army or the paramilitary forces perform their duty. But that should not be showcased as the main case.
No, it's not about showcasing something, Sambit. There's 134 eye injuries. We've also reported the injured soldiers. I'll allow Tariq to come in briefly, then General Jaswal. I'm still waiting for the Mirwais on his phone line, please. Dr. Tariq, go ahead.
Madam, we can use other means of restrictions, but this is lethal and it could have been done below the abdomen or below the hip. Why the eyes and the faces have been targeted? Tell me, does our general or our BJP personnel have any answer why or only the eyes were targeted? Is there any motive behind
it? Yes, I have.
There is something.
No, I don't think you can say the eyes were targeted. Ek minute, Tariq Saab,
so,
how do you know the eyes were targeted? From what I understand about the pellet gun, the pellet gun explodes in multiple different directions.
No, it can be avoided. The direction can be avoided. It can be done below the abdomen. And you have tissues of maximum resistance, legs, the abdomen, where it doesn't go even half an inch into the tissue. Why it has gone onto the face?
Let General Jaswal respond to that.
Yes, sir.
General Jaswal.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Tariq, let me tell you, none of these people fired onto the eyes. There is a dispersion which takes place with a shotgun cartridge when it is fired. Given the technical data,
yes, sir.
At 40 meters, yes, sir. There is a spread of 30 inches where 60% pellets go. Some go above. Now, all people are not of the same height. Some are of lower height. Some are trying to pick up a stone. They may have fired onto the knees. They should fire onto the knees,
yes.
Below the knees. Not over here because that comes under the 13th circle. But someone, if he's bending down to pick up a stone or something, just a second, please. Anyone who's commenting out there, I would like that person to please understand one thing. Do not criticize the security forces. There is an Indian man in the 92 base hospital from the CRPF, and he said, "Hame khud ko dukh hota hai, lekin hum kya kare? We don't want to fire, but hum kya kare?"
Yes, he said that to me. General Jaswal, he said that to me. General Jaswal, he said that to me. And I actually thought, so I have to interrupt everybody now. One minute. General Jaswal, that constable Shivaya said that to me. And I thought he was an extraordinary soldier because he was injured himself. And he said, these are our own people.
Yes, yes.
We cannot shoot at them. And he said that to me. That was my report yesterday. Now, before I take last comments from all of you, sir, 1 minute, sir. Mirwais Omar Farooq is back on Skype. We've been having a terrible problem getting through to him on Skype. Now, remember, mobile data is down in the valley. And so, therefore, technically, this is difficult. Omar Saab, the first response from you, the government again appealing to the Hurriyat for help. Do you not think it is your responsibility to also contribute to a de-escalation of tension and to somehow control the mood on the street? And you know, right now, while we are all condemning and expressing anguish when we see human loss of life, the fact of the matter is that now even civilians are being targeted by angry mobs. You've had this high-density apple orchard, for example, burnt down. You've had homes where Burhan's encounter took place torched today. How do you see this appeal to you for to help in bringing peace?
Well, Barkha, I mean, it's quite ironical that our help is only needed, you know, when you have a firefighting situation on the ground. For the rest of the time, we are irrelevant. We are enemies to peace. We are traitors. We are, you know, pro-Pakistani agents. So, I mean, I just fail to understand the double standards of the government, whether it's in Kashmir or in New Delhi, the way in which they are looking at the whole problem in Kashmir. I mean, it's like as if we are talking in 2010 again. I mean, we talk many times over the phone and video. Same with the situation. I was under house arrest today. It's been a week. I'm under house arrest. Not allowed to meet anyone. So I think.
But can I ask you, Mirwais Omar Farooq, we had Bilawal Bhutto Zardari dialing the phone to you today. And that only reinforces this pro-Pakistan reference that you spoke about. The fact of the matter is, what does a Pakistani leader have to do calling you directly at a time when, you know, Kashmir is on edge? Why should a Pakistani politician call you, when you're not even talking to Indian politicians?
Well, I'll answer your, question of Bilawal. But let me first, put some certain things on record. I was listening to the discussion, especially the statement of Mr. Nirmal Singh, and I categorically reject the statement of Mr. Nirmal Singh. The government is doing nothing except the fact that they are sending bodies back home. I mean, every day we have the casualties rising, injured are getting, they're getting killed.
Okay.
We have, as you yourself saw, I mean, pallet fires, I mean, 1,700 people injured, 130 people having pallet wounds, 45.
But we also have soldiers being attacked. Mirwais Omar Farooq, we also have soldiers being attacked. We have apple orchards being burnt. We have the home where Burhan Wani was killed also being torched.
Barkha, when you shoot at innocents, I mean, non-combatants, you shoot at civilians, you shoot at unarmed people, and then you send your bodies back home. What do you expect for people to do? They will come
Barkha.
On the, they will agitate. Let me finish.
Barkha.
Let me finish.
I'm out of time, so let me just get a quick comment.
You're always out of time when it comes to us. That's a problem with most of the
channel. No, I've been trying you from the beginning of the show, Mirwais Omar Farooq Saab. I have been trying you from the beginning of the show. We have lost the Skype line to you 5 times.
Barkha, just 10 seconds.
Complete your point. Complete your point. Let him just complete his point, Sambit, let him just complete his point. Go ahead, Mirwais. Complete your point.
So you have to understand the problem, that why is it only that the government is so insensitive to the Kashmir issue that rather than pacifying the people, they are deciding to send more troops into the valley. Already we have a 500,000 troops in the valley. I mean, what message is New Delhi sending when you are saying that we will deal with the problem with a stern hand, with an iron fist, we are going to send more troops in, we are going to deal with the situation. And you have, these are certain facts. This is a deja vu. It's exactly like 2010. When we were discussing things, and after 6 years, I am back on your channel, on other Indian channels, because we are irrelevant. We are threat to peace. That's what Mahbooba Mufti exactly said just last week. Why are you preaching Hurriyat people? Leaders like Gilani, Yasin, and myself and others, they're saying we are a threat to peace. And we are being accused of fanning the situation while we are confined to our houses, we are confined to a situation. Now, coming back to your question of Bilawal, and I think, I would have liked certain Indian leaders to call. I mean, look at the tragedy, not even the Prime Minister of your country is not even condemning the death of civilian people. He is saying that, people should, they should stay calm, but there is no word of sympathy for the people who have lost their lives, no word of sympathy for their families, just a casual statement.
Mirwais Omar Farooq, Sambit Patra has something to say to you. We're almost at the end of the show. Sambit, go ahead with your last comment. There is a contradiction, Sambit. Your party believe that talks with Pakistan should have been cancelled because Pakistan met with the Hurriyat conference. Now your coalition government is appealing to them for peace. And he's saying, Bilawal Bhutto called me. Why aren't Indians talking to me? Sambit, very quick response and I have to close this show tonight, please.
Barkha, I take objection that we all hear to a man who constantly says
comment.
That your government, your army, your country, it is ours. If
no,
Mr. Farooq is
that.
Living in
I
Kashmir and has
that.
A passport.
He, yeah.
No, I am referring to Mr. Farooq. please don't support Mr. Farooq. Yes. He has constantly maintained your country, your prime minister. I object to this. And let me tell Mr. Farooq, okay. This is the beauty of India. That despite the fact that you are under house arrest, you are addressing the whole world through a television channel. Not only one, you were in the other also a few while ago. So you are addressing the world through television channels. Okay. Just imagine what your condition would have been if you were in Pakistan. Such is the beauty of this country. And thirdly, I just ask a question. All your children, all the children of separatists are in foreign land getting educated. But you are playing with the lives of the children of Jammu and Kashmir, who are not your biological children. Your biological children are enjoying lives in Australia, America and UK.
Sambit, Kashmir is far too complex. There are mistakes on all sides. There is
Kashmir is not too far.
There is Pakistan.
The minds of people are very complex. Kashmir issue is not complex.
I am just saying again and again that please also engagement is the only thing that can be an antidote to the grammar of violence, to the idiom of insurgency. We need a dialogue process here. I can tell you that from on the ground. Leaving it there, thank you very much to our panel tonight on a rainy episode of The Buck Stops Here, having some technical problems. Do bear with us. Thank you very much. Goodbye.